Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Across the nation, the coronavirus pandemic has forced the closing of schools for more than a month. And it looks like that will continue for at least the next month. Daycare centers are closed, too. Parents are shut in with their children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are spending more time with their children than ever before and under tremendous stress. So how can they keep the peace and lower the risk of striking out at their children? Joining me to talk about this and offer help with it is Michelle Booth Cole, Executive Director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center. This is such an important conversation for these difficult times. If you have something to say about it, if you have a question, if you need help, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Michelle, good to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Harold, for having me on. And again, thank you for keeping children at the front of people's minds.
Absolutely. Kind of set the scene for me, if you will. What are you hearing about incidents of child abuse since the coronavirus shutdown?
Well, the fascinating and concerning thing is that we're hearing that the number of reports that are coming into child abuse hotlines in D.C. and across the country are dropping precipitously. The numbers are going down because it's not that child abuse is not happening. It's that it's not being reported because children are not being seen by those caring, responsible adults who often see them every day when they are in school. Teachers, educators, those who are affiliated with schools, whether it's the school attendance counselor, the school social worker, obviously the classroom teachers, those account for 20% of child abuse reports during regular times. Now that children are not being seen by those individuals, the number of reports are declining, even though we have no sense at all that the rate of child abuse is dropping. In fact, we think it's just the opposite.
Talk to me about some of the pressures that parents are under during these shutdowns.
Absolutely. You started off outlining them really perfectly. I mean, this is really a terrible perfect storm. We have the disruption of daily routines with businesses and schools and daycares being shuttered. So parents and children are in each other's company constantly, and sometimes in really close quarters. And then there's the issue of jobs having evaporated, right? The unemployment application rate has soared. So that then creates economic and financial pressures. Children are isolated from other adults who care about them, their teachers, their daycare workers, their early childhood educators. All those conditions exacerbate family stress, and stress and tension are those issues that really are risk factors for child abuse.
When you talk about the shutdown, one of the things that occurred to me is that there is a small but significant number of children who are being homeschooled. And so those parents are with their children more than those who are educated outside of the school. But even for children who are homeschooled, there, pre-COVID-19, there were opportunities for parents to get a break,
right?
For parents to send their children off to the playground, and all of that has changed.
Right, to do field trips, to do structured activities outside of the house, to go to museums, all those kind of enriching learning activities that we want children to take part in. You're right. All those have changed. All those situations have changed. I think one of the things, though, that parents know, I mean, they're kind of two sides of this conversation. One, parents should not be excessively hard on themselves at this moment, trying to create these structures of homeschooling and hitting all these benchmarks, because this is an extraordinary strange situation. So it's not fair to hold yourselves to this super, super high standard. Oh, I've got to make sure that they're doing whatever their lessons are, whether it's phonics or calculus or algebra two, and they've got to be doing it for this number of hours a day. And, you know, I think there is something to be said for we have to recognize how strange this is and not be trying to meet the regular standards of how we do homework or how we what we accomplish academically. This is a strange time, and we have to give into that and acknowledge that stress. On the other hand, there is value in creating some type of structure to the extent that you can. So waking up on time, you know, doing the daily bath shower routine with your children, doing some type of movement internally, even if it's just stretching or yoga, things that you can find free online, eating as healthily and as consistently as possible, keeping your children on regular routine kind of meal schedules so that their blood sugar levels stay even and their behavior, therefore, is better and more consistent. Going to bed on time and sleeping for 8 hours. So those kinds of fundamental things, those are things that many of us, not everyone, but many of us can take control of. So controlling what we can and then being really gentle with ourselves about the things that, frankly, we just can't control right now.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the stress on parents who are shut in during the shutdown with their children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are talking about keeping the peace so that you do not lash out, strike out at your children in an abusive way. If you are struggling with that right now and you're looking for some help or some advice, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I don't want to get into the broader debate about what is and what is not considered abuse, but if you can kind of give us some guidelines on some of the gray areas of child abuse and kind of lashing out, what my parents did when I was a kid is not socially acceptable now.
Well, it's not just that it's not socially acceptable. It's bad for children. That's what the research has shown. I mean, the American Academy of Pediatrics has finally come out really strongly against corporal punishment of any sort. And if you read the work of Dr. Stacy Patton, whom I think you may have had on your show before, but she's written this book called Spare the Kids and Why Whooping Children Won't Save Black America. Safe Shores is actually going to have a Twitter chat with her on April 29th from 1 to 2 p.m. I mean, I think we really need to look very closely at traditional notions of what it means to discipline children. And physical contact, hitting, swatting, all those things have been shown physiologically and scientifically to do damage. Even if in the moment the parent feels like that's going to stop a behavior, the long-term impact of that is just bad for the child and bad for them going on through adulthood. So we really want to encourage parents not to use those techniques and then not to yell at children, right? I mean, the reality is these are people. They're little people. Sometimes they're, if they're teens, they're bigger people. Sometimes, like my daughter, they're taller than I am, right? But they are people, and we don't yell at people to communicate. We don't want people yelling at us. We don't want people hitting us. So we really have to think about the humanity of our children and how do we connect with them? How do we understand them developmentally? Parents need to know what it's reasonable to expect of what's called a neurotypical child. If you have a child who is healthy in all basic ways, right, who is meeting their milestones, you should become familiar as a parent about what it's reasonable to expect them to do at a given age, because that will change how you interact with them. It's not fair to expect a two-year-old to sit down and be still. That's just not what they do, right? So I think we need to be talking about the forms of abuse. There's physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, and neglect. And neglect means, you know, not feeding children properly, not caring for them properly, not cleaning them properly to the extreme, right? So there are those basic forms, but we really have to start thinking about what it means not just to abuse children, but what it means to take care of them in healthy, holistic ways that respect and acknowledge their humanity in a way that's going to get them to adulthood as safe, as safely as possible, so that they will be sane, caring, productive, responsible adults.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the pressure that parents are under right now during the coronavirus shutdown. Are you feeling like you're lashing out at your children? Are you feeling like you perhaps are not being the best parent and dealing with some of the things that the stresses of this difficult time have brought upon our families? If you are struggling with lashing out, struggling with keeping the peace with your children during this difficult time, give us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things, Michelle, you were just speaking about not yelling at your children. In the vacuum of this conversation, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent, okay? Mm-hmm. My daughter will be 22 in mm-hmm. June. I have yelled at her. I'm going to be really transparent. There are times when I felt that she deserved it. Don't feel guilty about it. Is it realistic, particularly now, to...
I'd like to make a call.
To actually expect a parent not to yell at their child?
I believe it is realistic. I want to believe that adults can have the self-control, can marshal the self-control, can put themselves in mommy or daddy time out and take a breath so that they come to their children with a calmness or at least a reasonableness that will keep them from yelling. Because the yelling, honestly, it usually has the opposite effect of what we want. It doesn't get us the kind of behavior, and it only builds temporary fear, lots of anger and antipathy, right? Like they don't like us. They don't want to listen to us. I don't want to listen to people who yell at me, and I'm grown. So I definitely think there's that power relationship, often in size, a big person yelling at a little person. That doesn't even make sense. Right. So, yeah, I want to believe that we can use all these tips and tools and techniques that, you know, are going around in terms of taking 10 deep breaths or taking a step back or just telling your child, you know what, I'm really upset. And this is what it looks like when I'm upset. Teach your children to identify their feelings, their anger, by identifying yours, right? We have to be mindful. We have to call upon ourselves to do better. Because if we make that concession that, oh, well, when I'm upset, I'm just going to let it rip, then that doesn't get us any place. I also want to say, Safe Shores is encouraging adults to be the virtual village for each other at this time, right?
We what does always that mean, need a village. Virtual village?
It really means taking using the tools that we have at our disposal to check on each other, to give each other opportunities to talk about what's going on, to vent a little bit if you need. Call that mom or dad you know who has three kids and who's maybe they do have a partner, but their partner is on the phone all day, on Zoom calls all day for 6 hours while they're dealing with the kids and their job and the laundry and those things. I've had calls with people where the first 15 minutes, even though it was a business call, with me just kind of listening and giving them a chance to talk about what's going on and affirming that parent, right? So part of being the virtual village means calling parents or caregivers that you know just to check in. People have, almost everybody has a cell phone. We can check in with people, let them vent, tell them a joke, make them laugh, you know, remind them to breathe. Take the kids off the parents' hands virtually for a few minutes. Say, hey, you know, if this is a close family friend or a relative, again, we're encouraging people to do this with folk that they know their kids are safe with online. Say, let me read them a story if they're little, right? We can do virtual storybook time. We can entertain the kids and say, hey, tell me about your day. What's been going on with you? How has it been to be inside? So these are things that we can do virtually. We can do by phone. Ask kids what's changed since they've been at home, right? and then be quiet and listen to kids, give them a chance to express their feelings. So again, it's about being creative, about being resourceful, about listening to kids, listening to their parents, and giving them a chance to talk about what's going on with them.
Speaking of that virtual village, you have an event coming up online.
We do.
Dealing with this very same issue. I've got about a minute before the break. Kind of run down what it is and how people can participate.
Absolutely. So you know that Safe Shores usually does Stewards of Children training, which is a training to teach adults how to recognize, respond to, and prevent child sexual abuse. Well, we're going to try doing that online. We're having two trainings this month. This is Child Abuse Prevention Month. The first one is full, but the second one on April 27th from 3 to 5 p.m. is there's still space. And so people could go online on our website, safeshores.org, click on Get Involved, and you'll see a place to sign up for free for this virtual training on how to prevent child abuse.
And of course, that's
a great opportunity.
And your website information will be on our website on whur.com after 8:30, as always. Michelle, stay with us. Also, Chris calling from Waldorf. We're going to talk to you after the break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're struggling to keep the peace with your kids right now, we need you to call in and talk about it. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in about 15 seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about trying to keep the peace in your home and lowering the risk of striking out at your children. How do you do that? Well, joining me to talk about this and offer help, of course, is Michelle Booth Cole. She is the Executive Director of Safe Shores, the D.C. Children's Advocacy Center. If you want to talk about this, if you are feeling that you are perhaps at the breaking point with your children right now, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chris, thanks for hanging on from Waldorf. What's on your mind?
I know we're addressing the kids, but I have tremendously noticed since this whole coronavirus thing started that the domestic violence is at an all-time high.
Absolutely.
Things are you're seeing things that was initially there, but because nobody's working, everybody's home, I have neighbors around me from side, from downstairs that argue and fight all the time, and you have kids that are totally like 3 years old that just totally lost what will be regularly in a babysitter at work, at school or in some type of child care. It's really sad. We cannot fix the body of a car has a motor, and we are the motor. And if we don't fix the motor, the car can't go nowhere. And eventually, everything around that car is going to fall apart. And so it embeds in the kids, and as they get older and hearing fighting and hitting and running and jumping and, cursing off and going off, it don't do nothing but really put a damper on a child's mind. And so they look for outlets to be in school and parents lashing out on kids. And there's a lot of kids out here suffering, just wanting to have somewhere to eat, somewhere to play. They don't understand why the playground is locked up or why they can't go play in the playground. They have to have an avenue to let out. And I pray, just if nothing but for the kids, that this comes to an end, because they need the let out from dealing with the parents, and the parents need to figure out what direction, what avenue, what counseling to take, because it puts pressure on kids that they grow to go into their own lives dealing with.
That Chris, let me see if we can get Michelle to talk about that, because she honestly is, even though we are talking about the health and welfare of children, the domestic violence issue, as Chris so expertly pointed out, does have an impact on on children because, and you can tell me if I'm far off, if there is domestic violence between partners in the home where there are children, it's very likely that the children could be on the receiving end of that domestic violence as well.
Absolutely. One, just witnessing it, being party to interfamily violence, people that you love, who love you, but watching that violence between them, that has such a pernicious, negative, detrimental impact on kids' mental health, their emotional health, and it can be their physical health. Chris laid it out. She was right on point. People need to report that domestic violence, even maybe particularly in these circumstances. There's the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233. You know, folk need to report to the police if they think that there's some violence happening and they can hear it and they know that their children there. Our frontline law enforcement are still out there checking on these cases, going out. Child welfare professionals are still out on the front lines going to people's home and checking on allegations of abuse. So people need to report. In D.C., that number is 202-671-7233. So if you hear something, continue to say something. If you hear something, report. If you see something, report. If you know children are present in a household and you don't hear any noise and it's just oddly silent, you know, people will come out and check on that too. All you have to have is a reasonable suspicion of abuse. But the impact of domestic violence is considered by many a form of child abuse, that exposure. So it is real. It is something that we still need to be that virtual village and intervene in. Call the police, have them come check out situations. Sometimes that knock at a door might save someone's life.
Can we drill down just a little bit more on that? Because at the beginning of the conversation, you spoke about responsible, caring, observant adults, teachers, counselors, quite possibly even, you know, church members or the like,
mm-hmm.
who mm-hmm. have done the heroic action of checking in with children when they saw them. And now that they don't see them, don't have the eyes and ears and hands on them, those caring eyes, ears, and hands on them that they had before the shutdown. If I, for example, happen to be one of those teachers or counselors that no longer sees Jimmy or little Sharon, how do I check on them when they're no longer coming to school?
Well, I think it varies from school to school. But one, some schools are back in session. So kids are doing online learning, and their teachers are able to see them virtually. I also know that for those teachers or students who are not in that situation, teachers, which parents understand now more than ever, and I've always said, they are phenomenal individuals and professionals when they really want to be doing that work and they're good at it. Our teachers are amazing, right? And there are teachers who are actually calling their students and checking in with them. A lot of teachers these days, depending on the school, they have their students' phone numbers. They can check in via text. They can check in via email. They can call and say, how are you doing? My daughter plays volleyball. Her coach sent a text to the team that the parents can see as well. And just checking in saying, I miss you. How are you guys doing? Text me back if you want to. So we do have technology available, not all the time, but in many instances, where those caring adults can reach out to kids. It's always appropriate to let the caregiver, the parent caregiver, know that you are reaching out to their kids online, but just say, hey, I'm just checking in to see how they're doing because I miss seeing them at school, at sports, at Sunday school, at Temple, whatever it is. So that's part of being that virtual village, picking up that phone and calling that child or their caregiver and just saying, how are you doing? That's what the virtual village does. So just because you can't lay eyes on somebody doesn't mean you can't be connected with them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about keeping the peace in your house during the coronavirus shutdown, trying to lower the risk of you lashing out at your children. Let's look at the parents. No parent is perfect.
Absolutely.
Some are
we
handling.
Can all be better at it.
Yes, absolutely. Lord knows. But if a parent is feeling that they are on the edge, particularly when they were never close to the edge before this, when they knew that they were not lashing out at their children, hitting, using inappropriate, violent tone, but now there's no job, and the cupboard is bare, and you're going out to, to the food banks and to the giveaways, and your pride is hurt, and all of these other kinds of things, and now you're taking it out or thinking about taking it out on your child. How does a parent self-correct?
Yeah, well, I think first parents need to be mindful that they're not alone. It may feel that way, but you got to remember other people are going through this too. There are resources for you to reach out to. I would strongly suggest if people don't have a friend or a confidant that they feel comfortable sharing that where they are, there's the National Child Help Hotline, right? There are individuals that you can call and talk it through with. So I would certainly encourage people. It's an 800 number, 1-800-4-A-CHILD. So that's 1-800-422-4453. Call them. They have people standing by because they know in this circumstance their services are more needed now than ever, and people can help parents talk through that stuff. So reach out. That's what I encourage parents to do. Don't try to do it all by yourself. None of us can do it alone. Reach out. Reach out to that friend or that coworker who always used to make you laugh, who maybe you thought was a really great parent, who seemed to always have great humor and anecdotes. Reach out to that person, because part of the virtual village is being available for folk when they do reach out to you, but also having the courage and the humility and maybe just loving our children enough to be brave enough to say, I'm really flawed, I'm really scared, and I want this to be right. So can you just talk to me, right? It takes courage to admit that we're not great at the things we want to be great at, but it's so important for that child that a parent take that courageous step and acknowledge that, man, this is hard. This is hard on a good day. But right now, this is a circumstance that nobody could have predicted. So I'm gonna take a risk and I'm gonna call somebody, or I'm gonna call that hotline and just tell them what I'm going through.
Well,
use the resources.
Well, let me back up a bit. First of all, that 800-422-4453, what hotline number was that?
That is the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline.
Okay.
And it's staffed by professional crisis counselors.
So here's my question. Because this is such a delicate issue, some parent may feel that even if they're close to the edge, but not yet there, they may, should they fear that in being transparent with the hotline that they could get a visit and could have their child taken away from them?
Right. These calls to this hotline are confidential. So I would say from this standpoint, on this resource, no. The hotline offers crisis intervention, information, referrals, support resources, and all the calls are confidential. So they understand this situation. They are designed to respond to this kind of situation and to try to take away the barriers that might keep a parent from calling. So these calls are confidential.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Haywood, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Okay. I don't know. I was thinking of something special, of how can I help someone who has a child. I'm a phys ed teacher, you know, about 20 years. Right now I'm retired, okay, or about to be retired. So this is what I did. I noticed that there were two people in the house that had a four-year-old. So I watched them for a couple of days, and I noticed they seemed to be, you know, starting to become a little bit irritated with the child. So I did this. I set up a little program. I wrote it out and everything, and I went over to the house. And once I got permission, this is what I did. They had swings in the backyard, and then I brought a bat, some cones that the kids can run through, and then there was a slide that they could ride around. So what I did was I brought my bats, my balls, I brought my cones and my slides, right? And I let the kids play. And I did this for about a good 3 weeks, and I noticed that I made friends. The kids weren't so, the one child there wasn't so upset, and it gave the parent and the grandmother time to basically, you know, just have a little room for themselves. And I've been doing that for a couple of weeks now, and I think it's working. I think it's working. It works for me too, because I can use friends too. That's basically what I did. Still there?
Can we unpack that for a minute? Because there's so much there, Michelle and Haywood. I want you to hang on, because this is really, really critical. And I'll tell you what I hear, Michelle, and then you could talk to me a little bit about that. First of all, we have a veteran teacher, phys ed instructor, who has a history with children, and his heart appears to be in the right place. But and he's also, you know, establishing a relationship with, I guess, the mother and the grandmother. But we need to also talk about safety and trust and all of these other things. Nothing against you, Haywood. But, you know, Michelle can drill down a little bit more about what parents also need to be aware of and, you know, for people who appear to be having their heart in the right spot. And I'm sure you do. But you also have to be careful when you're dealing with the children of people that you may not necessarily be familiar with. Go right ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, so I think we've talked about this enough times in the past that you're thinking about definitely how do we create safe boundaries even when we are trying to do things that are helpful with children. So one, Haywood, I think it's phenomenal that you are using your skills as a PE teacher. You recognize the value of play for children, getting that energy out, getting those endorphins. I hope you're social distancing while you're doing that. So you're doing all this stuff 6 feet apart and making sure that everything is wiped down and nobody is being exposed to anybody else's germs. I would really encourage you as a teacher to please come take our online training for stewards of children. This is a training that actually was designed for adults who work with children, who have children in their lives. It's free. It's going to be on April 27th. Go online and register, because I think that will help you appreciate the importance of keeping those boundaries, making sure you're doing this maybe in a space where the mom or the grandmother, whoever the caregivers are, can watch you. They know where you are. They can pop in and interrupt the activity at any time. You want to make this situation safe for the children, but also safe for yourself, because you don't want to put yourself in a position as someone who does care, is trying to be helpful, of being accused of anything inappropriate. So what our training around stewards of children does is teaches adults how to have those safe boundaries, how to do things that are good for kids, with kids, but in a way that makes sure that everyone is safe. But I hear you in terms of giving them a chance to run around, burn that energy off. It's a wonderful thing, and children need that.
And let me say, because I've got to take another call, but real quick, I do want to say that with all of the, you know, the boundary discussion that we just had, we do need more Haywoods in the world, particularly now, you know, well-meaning people who have the intuition, doing that gut check to help members of that village get through this rough time. Go real quick, Haywood. I'll let you finish your point.
Okay, first of all, it was safe. I was protected. The families were safe. I did not go in the house. I did it in the yard. The yard's big enough, so basically the parents can see me everywhere. Mm-hmm. I took those things into consideration.
Right.
Okay?
Brilliant.
And also, what I did was I made sure that I didn't prolong it to the point where they became to a point where they got curious and like, hey, what's going on out here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the safety part was taken care of. It was open. They could see me. I didn't put myself into any real harmful situation anyway. And it got to a point where they were like, wow, you seem to be okay. Are you a teacher? I was like, yeah, I've been a teacher mm-hmm. for 20 years.
Well, there it
is. To make a long story short, I know that the safety was there of the child, not just the corona, but the safety of the child, period.
Right.
Myself and the family. So I covered all three of those bases, and it's been going well.
Can I just say thank you? Thank you for being the village. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we need. And you obviously have thought it through. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Haywood. I appreciate your phone call. Stay safe out there, not just for the kids, but for yourself. I really appreciate it. Let me go to Vicky calling from D.C. Vicky, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Doing just fine, thanks.
One, I wanted to say, it's a lot of parents. I'm a single mother of a 21-year-old son and also a 16-year-old daughter from Southeast Washington. And a lot of parents do not interact and were not interacting with their children even before this epidemic. So that's going to make the situation more difficult than, you know, some people calling them, some people wanted to be around them, or certain people wanted to help them just off of that. Because if you weren't interacting with your child before this epidemic even started, how can you attempt to develop a relationship or to interact with that child now that the epidemic, where you have to deal with that child? In so many words, they were able to put the child off on someone else or have someone else to watch the child or send the child to school first thing in the morning without something to eat or, you know, AYZ. Now that these children are in the house with them and they have no choice but to interact with them, like, what is it that can be done, you know, when it comes down to that? Because I feel like you should have been having a relationship with your child even before this epidemic started.
Well, let's try to unpack that a little bit too, Michelle, because as I've heard anecdotally that some parents, because of the very busy lifestyles that we lead, the overscheduling of children and all of the other things that parents are doing, all of a sudden you have this person in your house that you do not know, not, or at least not the way that you thought you did, you know, and particularly as Vicky was saying, you know, perhaps a 16-year-old, you know, the 21-year-old, well, that's an adult, but the child is growing, still developing and trying to move through this process. And so it's almost like, you know, hi, my name is Vicky. I'm your mother. you know?
Yeah.
How many mothers, single mothers, and I am a single mother, that, you know, they don't interact, you know, with their children, especially, you know, the area that I'm from. They don't interact with their children the way that they're supposed to. And they'll be quick to send that child off with someone else or out with someone else or send them to school instead of you taking the time to really get to know who your child is.
Well, let's see what Michelle has to say about getting to know your child. Let's move, you know, for a moment, you know, out of the abusive situation or the risk of lashing out at the child, and just perhaps starting with some foundational reestablishing, reconnecting with your child, Michelle.
Yeah, I think it sounds like Vicky is referring to sometimes younger children, because she talked about people sending kids off with other people. And I know for folk who maybe don't feel that their parenting skills are that strong, or maybe really weren't parented well themselves, don't really know how to do it, there are resources out there just at the tip of your smartphone. You can look up, like, how do I get to know my child? How do I get to understand where they are if they're 4 years old, if they're 5 years old? And the reality is children generally want their parents' attention. And if you just be still for a moment, if they're playing something, if they're drawing or coloring, you can do that with them. You don't always have to have lots of talking initially. You know, sometimes you just sit down and do something with them, play with them, observe them. That's how we get to know people. So, but I think this could present as hard as this circumstance is. You know, I've heard of some kids who are delighted to have their parents all to themselves all day long, because we do live in a world where a lot of the times parents don't have time and don't feel like they can carve out enough time to spend with their children. So this could be that opportunity to reestablish those relationships or establish them for the first time. I would say if parents are doing that, though, are they inclined to do that? Please be realistic about that, how long it takes to develop a relationship, get kids to open up to you, but also be realistic about what your kids do at a certain age, what kids behaviorally, what's developmentally appropriate, so you can know what to expect. And frankly, don't take it personally. Like, if they just don't respond right away, just be patient and persistent, because I have to say, having a relationship with your kids is one of the most amazing things that you can accomplish as a parent.
Vicki, let me ask you before I let you go. As I said, you said you have a 21-year-old.
Yes, I do.
And a 16-year-old. How are you doing? How are you making it with your children during this difficult time?
I am very well, great, and my children are as well, and that was one of the reasons why, because I heard it on the radio, and I was just listening, because, like I stated, the area alone where I live at, it's a lot that goes on with the parents and the children, and, you know, I wanted to kind of elaborate on, I don't know your name, dear, I'm sorry.
Michelle Booth Cole.
Okay, Ms. Booth Cole. You know, I wanted to elaborate. I mean, honestly speaking, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'm going to say things that a lot of people won't say, but who knows, a child does not come with a handbook, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
amen.
They don't come with a handbook. And I understand what you're saying as far as, you know, you being able to Google and find out different things, but no, far as I'm concerned, I'm old-fashioned in the way I was raised. When it comes down to that, no, it's up to you to take that time to really get to know who that child is. And
okay.
I'm speaking from the beginning, because when it comes down to it, they get to a certain age where, you know, their learning abilities and different things that you need to know, what's going on with that child, whether that child needs some type of help, whether that child needs some type of mentoring, anything, it's up to you as that parent to know these things. And I don't feel like Google, the internet, or any of that is going to teach you that.
Because oh, no, it won't replace that. I'm not saying that, but it can help you know that you should be doing that. And if I can just interrupt you, Vicki, you sound like somebody who should be a mentor to other parents, right? To other parents who haven't. I'm serious. Like, young parents who don't know what to do, and you can just say, hey, I observed you. You got to do it without judgment, because other people don't. They don't want to be judged. They may want help, but they don't want to be judged. Right, but you could say, hey, I observed your little one, and when my son was that little, you know what I used to do with him? We used to do X. And you might plant a seed in that mom who didn't seem interested before to have a sense that, oh, I can do that. If she said she used to do that, I can do that. This is part of being the village, too, is being mentors and being guides in a non-judgmental, caring way to parents who don't know what to do, maybe are overwhelmed or have never done it before.
Especially if her children, 21 and 16, are visible examples.
Absolutely.
Of good child rearing. So, yeah. You know, I certainly salute you, Vicki, and, you know, what you are, you know, doing as a responsible, loving mother. Keep loving on them, you know, particularly during this really, really rough time, and I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. Hang in there and be safe. I have about a minute or so, Michelle. Any final thoughts about making sure that as a parent, if you feel that you're near the edge, you can back off and back away from that edge and not really wanting to lash out at your children?
Yeah, well, I mean, like we've been talking about, know that you can call somebody for help. The child helpline, the child help hotline is there. There are resources there. There are people who are standing by to talk you down off that ledge to help you have some skills, even basic skills in the short run to know how to handle this time, who will acknowledge that this time is really tough. They can help you develop interactive safety plans for those moments. So when you get off the phone, you still need to know what to do if it comes again. There are people who are skilled at helping you do that. You have to reach out. You have to reach out and not try to do it all by yourself. Those are some of the key things. And then use social media as you can. Follow constructive resources online. Instagram has a lot of good resources, not just Safe Shores DC. There's the Child Mind Institute. There's D2L.org, which is Darkness to Light. There's Mama Bear Effect. There's Positively Present, Project Beacon of Hope, TMIT, Touch Me, I'm Telling, Fran Speak Up. There are lots of good resources out there that can just give you ideas, can give you sometimes just words in the moment that will help you focus your mind and do it differently and do it better.
Well, Michelle Booth Cole, thank you so much for being a resource for us and our community, one of the great members of that village. I appreciate your time, and please, as always, stay safe.
Thank you. You too, Harold. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can make sure that you can pick up on all the information, the resources that we've been sharing tonight on WHUR.com. It'll be on our website after 8:30. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Stay safe, everyone, and good night.